Hello. Welcome to this First Thoughts edition of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, presented by Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, and post-Thanksgiving hello to you. And we hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. And it is November 25th, 2012. It is Sunday night, and we just watch Into the Deep.
Yes.
So this episode did not introduce a new character, so I call this a fill-in-the-gaps episode. Where it kind of answered some questions and kind of alluded to a couple of things that we heard about in season one, actually. A couple of things, actually. So,
well, push the story along. Story along, so.
And actually set up some pretty interesting twists, at least I think so. So when we start off, Hook hops off the Beanstalk, and I'm assuming it's 10 hours after we saw Emma thereabouts. And then Cora was waiting for him. And my question is, where was Cora for all that time? Why wasn't she there when Emma and Mulan and Snow were there?
Well, because remember, I think she's a little more nervous about the four of them together.
Okay.
Because she can't hold all four of them together. She can only really handle two at a time. So I think she knows she's outnumbered by them. And that's where that's what I kind of think is going on. So
So then Cora and Hook were talking. And she said, "You chose her." So was almost kind of like a spurned lover, I guess.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And actually, we had a similarity back when Graham was still alive. Because Graham chose Emma over Regina.
Yeah, we'll be talking about Graham in a bit, too, by the way. So just, we'll... And I agree, actually. So she... Cora told Hook, "I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to leave you here," which is, you know, another one of those twisted stories where someone, you know, it's like, "Kill me." He's like, "No, I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to leave you here." You know, because in a way, she needs him. You know, So she kind of pushed his hand when he said that, but then, and time we also. You know, carried forward with this time, she goes, "It's not worth my time." So,
anyway. Well, and part of it is too, you know, you kind of go, you kind of sit there and you look at these bad guys on the screen and you're like, scream at them. And they kind of played this off in, I can't remember which one it was, but one of the Austin Powers movies. You know, "Why didn't you kill him when you had the chance? You should have killed him. You should have, you know, just popped
him." Yeah.
So, I mean, there's so many things you just go, "Dude, seriously? You want this person dead? Why would you, like," anyway. It's not gonna bode very well for her in the future, I'm sure.
So now I'm going to broach the subject. Now I don't consider the people that rose when Cora said "rise," holding the heart, zombies, but you kind of do.
Well, yeah, because they were dead.
Okay.
And they're not traditional zombies, but let's face facts. What else would you call them? And by the way, tell me how in the world she controlled, what, a dozen of them?
Right.
With one heart.
I know. And when she kind of began that process, only about six or seven drawers came open.
Yeah.
So, and another thing I wanted to bring up, too, is that why didn't Regina have the same power over Graham? If Cora could... control.
Regina did,
10
though.
People. No, she could have. She controlled the people, and then in the end, we saw something else.
Right.
To kind of.
Right. No, I get that. But what do you mean that? What do you mean when you say?
Well,
she
all
couldn't
the people
control?
Were dead, and I mean, from what we gather, all their hearts were taken out, and because of that, we learned.
Would she mash them all together to make one big heart?
No. No. What I'm saying is all she just it was, said was rise, and she controlled them, and then basically it was kind of go capture, you know, Emma Snow and Mulan or whatever.
She didn't even
go
tell them
the
that.
Whatever. But that's what I'm. That's
they
what
were
I'm
after
saying.
The compass,
right? So what I'm saying is Regina did not have that kind of control over Graham. So maybe
when
in season one, because she had his heart.
Right, she didn't have control of him because she had no magic.
Okay, all right.
That's
fair
the
enough.
Only thing I can think of. She had no magic in Storybrooke, so she didn't control his heart.
But she could kill him.
She could kill him, but she couldn't do anything else beyond that. Because, I mean, the essence
of
killing...
So it was limited then.
Right, it's very limited because it took no magic to kill him.
Okay.
But it took magic to control those zombies that Cora controlled.
I took less notes, so we'll talk That's about fine. Things like this.
That's all right. We can totally talk about things
I know.
Like this.
All right. So we also had another bit of lying to protect someone. Mm-hmm. And as we know, lying is bad.
Mm-hmm.
But in a couple of different instances, lying can be good for certain purposes. And I just wanted to kind of point that out.
Only because Aurora would have freaked out.
Yep. So Rumpelstiltskin, they're going to use Rumpelstiltskin to double cross Cora.
Yep. Well, because he's the only one who would know how to do it.
Right.
So I thought it was really cute how Regina found him at the diner with Bal, and they're having hamburgers, and mm-hmm. It was really cute. And just the whole ketchup, you should try it with ketchup because condiments are the magic
true.
In this world. Yeah. Which that was funny because I'm going, I can think of a few other things that are more magical than ketchup,
true.
But well, in this world, in reality,
wait till he gets a hold of Goulden's mustard. That's going to be something.
No, it's icky.
So then we did explore the whole idea of the dream communication. And, you know, we've mentioned a couple of movies, you know, Inception, and, Dreamscape, and that kind of a thing. So I think we really, really kind of explored that. So, yeah, Rumpelberger.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. And then Mr. Gold said he had a complicated relationship with Granny. I don't know why. And that's what he said, as with anyone else.
As with pretty
much never,
anyone
else. He doesn't get along with Mother Superior or the nuns or the fairies or anybody.
Well, no, because think about it. Granny would have been she was part of the War Council. He's pretty unhappy with anybody on the War Council. Right. So Archie, Granny, Blue.
Right.
Snow, Charming, the dwarves, you name it, he's got a grudge against them. Plus, he owned the town, remember? Mm-hmm. And so, remember the pilot where he came in and demanded the payment? And, and then when Emma said, what, does he own the place? She's like, no, he owns the whole town, right. You know, that whole,
well,
that whole
conversation.
Well,
and he got that in the discussion with the queen.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying, but that's what his complicated relationship is with her, I'm sure.
All right, so Cora was dead, huh?
Well, that's what Regina told Rumpel.
Right.
But then you also heard what she said. And he said, you told me you saw the body. And she said, well, you apparently taught her better than you thought.
Mm-hmm.
Or she's, you know, she's more...
Yeah, so maybe she did lie to him.
I think she did. Okay. I think Cora absolutely lied. I think Cora lied. I think Regina was being very honest because, you know, she thought her mother was dead.
Okay. So, he certainly didn't seem to bother by Cora at all, you know?
No, because he thinks
he
can outwit her.
Just in the conversation, he's just like, nah, you know?
He thinks he can outwit her.
So, you know, in the, he's pulling all the strings, he kind of fit that role one more time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So then we did learn it's really not power, but it's removing weakness. And the weakness is love. And so his love is going to be his weakness in dealing with Korra.
Right.
You know, and that's the one thing that she focused on with Snow is, you know, Henry and Emma too.
Right.
Emma and Snow, their focus is Henry.
Right.
So once she found that, I was like, okay, done. That's the weakness.
Right.
So, I thought it was interesting that Aurora wants to help. For all this discussion of the people have had about, you know, Aurora's this, Aurora's that, you know, Aurora now kind of is stepping up to the plate and saying, look, Philip's gone, but I really want to help these people. And the one thing that I did right next was Mulan is always kind of clouding the issue. Mulan never really kind of sees the bigger picture. She's always, you know, and I wrote initially, I mean, she's all about nobility and honor. She's all about honor and code and...
Well, which, because she made a promise to Philip.
Right, right. But all these things, and you can see people are like, no. I mean, yeah, that's fine, but let me explain a couple of other things that you're kind of missing here. You're going by the book. I understand that. But what about this and this and that?
Right.
No. He said... You know, and we know she's, people like that,
yeah,
but it's like,
yeah,
you know,
she's very
by the book. So, Henry
will be her undoing at some point in time too, by the way.
Mm-hmm. So Henry's sleeping now, or he has a makeshift temporary bed in the back area of Mr. Gold's shop. Where
was it the back area? It looked almost like it was the front to me, but
it was the, I believe it was the back area where he was putting on that lanolin, on that stuff. And also where August came in that one time was looking for maps. Goes, well, this is the back of the shop. It, you know, it's kind of closed off.
Yeah,
so you're going to have to, yeah. So then we hear this story, kind of an illumination of an older thing that we saw, and again, seeing, is that it wasn't the quill that was given by... The blue fairy, it was the ink, but she said that it was the wood and the
quill,
right? So was she lied to? Was she in on it? So these are questions.
She being Cinderella?
No, the blue fairy, because she gave them that.
Right, she gave the quill and said this will do it, but she said she didn't say well. We don't know what she said to them, how she put it.
If I remember right, it was magical wood in the quill. So
I didn't hear magical wood of any kind in the quill.
Okay.
There wouldn't be any wood in the quill. It's a quill.
From what I remember, and it's been a while, you know, it was made from the magical tree or something like that.
I don't remember that part. But anyway.
So, anyway, it turns out now that it was magical ink that did that.
From an elusive
squid. It sort of makes sense because writing it did, in fact, kind of seal the deal. So,
right,
because
him holding it.
So I'll go with it that far.
If the quill had actual power itself, the minute he touched it, it would have froze him, but it wasn't that. It was when he started signing.
So this did, in a couple of ways, it remind me of Lost because you kind of make a decision on something that you see, and then later on you see it from another angle, and you see something you missed, or you hear about something that you missed, and then there's another part to it.
Right.
Because you kind of assume, it's like, well, you know, whatever. So from a squid, was this magical ink.
Right.
That a mermaid found.
Right. Or that he happened to have.
Right. So, and there is a bottle of it in his jail cell.
Yep.
Where he was held.
Yep.
Why is it there?
Because he had it on him, maybe.
Yeah.
Because remember, he allowed them to do this to him.
Mm-hmm.
He allowed it because he knew that that would be, you know, the way to get the information he needed so that the curse could be invoked.
The first thing I'm thinking of is when you send someone to a jail cell, that's kind of a bad idea. I mean, because that's where people are held.
Well, sure.
I mean, anyway, it's just so.
Well, and again, the assumption is that they'll get there without right. anybody else knowing they're going there.
Yeah. So this whole dream communication and then this force that's between them, keeping them apart and that kind of a thing. And then also something grabbed Aurora and kind of pulled her up. I was thinking of Poltergeist, but this thing, you know, this other force, remember
really?
She was saying go toward the light and there's something that doesn't like children or doesn't like you or, you know, there's some other force. So
wow. See, for me, what that was is you heard that weird noise, mm-hmm. like a voice.
Right.
And it almost sounded like Korra.
Okay.
But it wasn't Korra.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't somebody saying Korra. It was Mulan saying, Aurora, Aurora, wake up.
Mm-hmm.
It was forcing her out of her dream, out of her sleep.
Yeah.
So, that's what that force was. I think that was her, mm-hmm. like, you know, Rumble said, her spirit taking her before she was ready to go.
I agree. But I'm just saying the only other, it reminded me of Poltergeist in this kind of netherworldly place. And there was some other force that wasn't them.
No,
them. It was something
I'm with
else.
You. I'm with you.
So I wrote, is Korra lying? So, yeah. Anyway.
Is Korra lying?
Whatever that meant after the whole Rumple jail cell thing. So, is Korra lying?
I'm just wondering. I don't know. Korra's always lying.
And Snow talks to the animals. So, you know, and we've kind of known that for a while.
Yeah.
Bluebirds and that kind of a thing.
Right.
I wonder
she
if
understands
Charming.
Them.
Yeah, I wonder if Charming actually communicates with animals as well, too.
Something tells me he doesn't.
Well, I mean, because he did say the bluebirds or the animals are a buzz about a war. And I guess maybe it was because Snow told him.
Maybe. Or fairy or the dwarves or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think Snow has the ability to communicate because she may have been enchanted as a child or something, you know, after this whole event with, you know, Regina and Korra and stuff.
Now, I'm not a animal expert, but I believe it was a raven.
I believe so,
that,
too.
That
looked like a raven.
That
which is actually not
Korra
Sleeping Beauty, by the way.
Right. It was
Maleficent's
right.
pet raven, Diablo.
But I think definitely it's kind of an allusion to that.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you look, you go, oh, you know, some kind of a witch or evil character.
Sure.
So. But I know that ravens are huge, much bigger than crows.
Actually, I'd have to look that up.
Okay.
Because I was given the impression that they're actually smaller than crows.
Okay.
But I could be wrong.
Well, if Jeff Corwin's listening.
Yeah, really.
Can let us know. So anyhow, so the poppy plant came up again, and I wondered if we were going to Oz,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but
because that is referenced to Oz,
we did not. We just went to this place, this area. I don't know.
Yeah,
she said there's only one place not too far from here where there's a poppy plant, and it never really kind of they really didn't specify where it was. So then Charming said when. Regina was trying to say, look, man, you know, going the sleeping curse is no fun. And then he said, well, I faced you. How bad could it be? So that was kind of funny, kind of along the same lines of Henry's grandpa. So Hook versus Korra. You know, we have this. They're together. They're apart. They're together. They're against each other. That's kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But you got a pirate, so. And I think one of the nicest moments was, and I don't know how this is going to play out, but Snow realized her mistake. And I think in a way, Snow is now on her road to redemption as well. Because, I mean, you could say, well, you know, Regina's just evil and you know, whether it's born or made, she's just evil and the snow made her that way and all this. But it's nice that Snow's kind of saying, look, I shouldn't have said anything. I did. You know, so if we're going to play the blame game, we can really kind of find all kind of blame and all kind of different sides. So I shouldn't have done it. There you go. And so I think it's going to be nice if they ever kind of sit down and talk about it, that maybe, you know, I don't know. It would be nice.
Yeah. Crows are slightly smaller than ravens, by the way.
Okay.
By about 4 inches. And they're actually from the same family.
So they're the ravens of the basketball players of the family.
They're all part of the family Corvidae.
So it's kind of Breaking Bad, and Mrs. Wizard, Regina's kind of teaching Henry about mixing up magic. So it was kind of funny. And
well, it was kind of interesting, that whole scene, because he kind of came up and was like fascinated by it. And you could see she still enjoyed doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But when he asked her about it, she was honest and said, look, I only used it on Daniel. And then I used it right now. And that's it. And I promise I'm really trying. And he actually is recognizing that she is trying. But you could see on her face, she was just very excited when she was done with it. It was very thrilling for her. You know, so that's a big sacrifice she's making for him.
I make no bones about, you know, I do enjoy a good, strong female character. I do. But I do dig this new Regina as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really nice to kind of see her with a new paradigm. And instead of, you know, fighting against, she's fighting for. And she's not now, she's not fighting. She is kind of playing by the rules. And it's nice to see mm-hmm. her setting magic aside, except for certain instances.
Mm-hmm.
And really understanding what's important. So anyway, it's nice to see. Also, we heard mentions of two other shows, Lost and True Blood. So it's kind of funny.
Mm.
So... Because it's when Mr. Gold was talking, he said, in the old days, we used to do it with True Blood instead of, you know. And that's another thing, you know, and I'm going to say this, and you and I need to kind of chat about this. The one thing in season one that we kind of slowly came to grips of is the understanding that these stories were not the classic stories mm-hmm. of fairy tales.
Right.
Okay. And so now what I'm coming to understand is all these factoids that we kind of come up with from the show, even if when they come from the show,
mm-hmm.
that they're not solid. They change. For instance, at the end of the show, they called it a curse or a spell. Because mm-hmm. all we've heard thus far is curse, 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 curse.
Right.
And barrier spell. Mm-hmm. Heard that. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like, I don't know. You know, you try and keep score with what they are setting up. But it keeps changing. And so it's just that's kind of what I... For instance... If a sleeping curse, initially what we've understood as sleeping curse came by the apple.
Mm-hmm.
But now we see that it's pricked the finger with the wheel as well. So there's not one way for a sleeping curse. There's a couple of ways. And then now you can use poppy seeds. So it's all these different ways.
Well, I think I don't think I ever believed there was only one way to get, you know, for the sleeping curse to happen.
Right.
The most commonly used method we saw was the apple in season one.
Right.
But Sleeping Beauty always pricked her finger on a spinning wheel.
Mm.
So I had a feeling that was how she ended up in her sleeping curse. So how did she end up with that? Well, looky, looky.
Right.
Poppies were possibly used.
Yeah. So,
which kind of leads me to think, so did Mulan have something to do with her going to sleep for so long? Because Mulan knew how to make a sleeping powder.
True. True. But
I'm just saying.
What I'm saying is, you know, some people, you know, work on timelines, and I like to keep connections with certain things. That's one of my things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, once we kind of learn some things, I think they're going to switch it up. For instance, you know, I mean, that's initially what I thought. It was like, it was the Apple sleeping curse. And now that's just, nope.
Yeah.
It's a sleeping curse by anything. Could be Poppy.
Right. There's many methods you could do it. It's the curse itself or the spell itself, not the method, not the delivery right. method. That's just the delivery.
And the one thing I'll say, one more thing is, if crushing up poppies is all it takes, is that a curse? Or it was just, it makes you go to sleep?
That was a sleeping thing.
So.
And remember that, okay, so in this case, Mulan even said about an hour. It's about all it's going to give her is an hour of sleep. Yeah. And that's a deep enough sleep for her to, you know, be able to go to the realm, the underworld. For Wizard of Oz, which is where the poppies were first seen that I can remember in a fairy tale, poppies, it put them to sleep
mm-hmm.
until the good fairy, or the good witch made it snow. And that kind of tempered the effect.
Yeah. So.
So I think poppies is just a temporary thing, and it's not a curse at all or a spell. I think there's, you may be able to use them as an element of the curse or the spell, but I think that the real curse comes from other items or other things.
Yeah. And you know, we did learn that there were two levels of this netherworld kind of mediary place. There's
sure.
the first timer room. And then there's the, once you've broken the curse and you go back room.
Okay. Yep.
So,
which is interesting because actually I wonder how far they'll go with this now into Dante's Inferno.
Okay.
If they'll take any more levels of hell. Do you know what I mean?
So I took a long time to say this, but I'm going to say this now, is that all the discussion that we do with, they said this and they wrote this and somebody did this and that. I don't know that. I think we need to just kind of go more with the story, because I kind of go with, well, sleeping curse is from this, and we've just kind of come to the place where
right.
it's this or poppies, if they've been broken out of the spell initially. So there's all these different kinds of things, instead of, it's not a linear story. It's very, very hard to kind of.
Right. It's, you can't pin it down.
Right.
You just can't pin it
down. So it's, you know, I keep trying to, and tonight I just went, it's hard to.
Yeah,
so,
you can't pin it down.
But the Hall of Mirrors was kind of interesting. That's kind of a classic lost in a world and don't know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that he was going to use that blue, where the water was, it turned blue, right? I thought he was going to use it to find one of his reflections that didn't have it or something.
Mm.
I just notice a difference and wander through. I wonder if you could wander, like, across it. So.
Huh.
And I wonder if that was part of the, you could never get there. And I know that, you know, we've got at least one email from somebody that the fire room is kind of an allusion to hell. And tonight,
sure.
you know, obviously we see that there's kind of a passing from a certain level down into the
mm-hmm.
deep, right?
Mm-hmm.
And going down into this, you know.
Right. And what happens if you break down below that?
Right.
Will you keep going? Is there something else down there?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of an interesting, it's an interesting concept.
Certain beliefs is seven or
nine
or three, or, I mean, Dante's Inferno.
Dante's Inferno, I believe there's nine levels, but anyway.
Yeah. You know, and that kind of pulls in a lot of kind of different beliefs and different stories and things like that. So, but yeah, you know, it fell down, it was hot, and then he understood, and then he broke through the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
So that's when he found Snow again.
Yep.
So, and then we realize that the Netherworld are not really there, so Kiss can't be
right.
done.
Right, it's just their souls, so right. they physically can't kiss there.
We didn't really talk about Snow's amazing bow and arrow archery. She is an archeress.
Yeah.
If that's a word.
I don't know if that is or not. Doesn't sound
we'll try
like a word, but we'll pretend.
Grandma would believe it was a
Grandma
real word.
Would tell you it's a word. Yeah, I know she's pretty spot on with that bow and arrow, but then she's probably had a bit of practice too.
She could be an elf in the Hobbit movies. Lord
probably,
of the Rings.
Yeah. Give Legolas a run for his money.
Yeah. So yeah, her arrow firing skills are pretty cool, but yeah, she knocked him down, but couldn't really kill him. So, but yeah, so they couldn't kiss, and it would seem that Aurora is a heart zombie.
Well, and that's the thing, yeah. Is she really a zombie? Because it didn't seem like she's dead.
And Cora said, you took your first heart.
Uh-huh.
Hook.
Right, because he figured out he knew how to do it because...
Well, I guess if you understand get through a barrier spell blocker thing, then you probably have an understanding of magic. And maybe Mila taught him, so I don't know.
Oh, possibly. Although, well, anyway, I'm sure he figured out how to do it by watching Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah, right.
And maybe he, you know, did encounter, you know, other stuff. Who knows?
So,
maybe Regina at some point in time. She could
so then... We did see one of the final scenes of Charming just sleeping. You know, and Henry's kind of freaked out, and then they just said, "Nah, they're just catching up." And then, you know, Regina kind of looks at Gold and shaking his head like, "No."
Right.
I kind of told you.
He knows there's something wrong. What I kept saying was, "Henry, just lean over and kiss his forehead. That's true love's kiss, right?"
Right. But the one thing about Rumpel is he always has the one thing, the one piece of the puzzle. And so, but he has to be asked. He will rarely offer it, you know, because he normally does the finger point in the air. It's like, one more thing. But he didn't do that this time because
right.
he could have said, now... Just to let you know, because he knows a lot about the Netherworld. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm just being honest.
Right.
He knows a lot about this Netherworld.
Sure.
He could have said, now, once you get there, the other person isn't going to be real.
Right.
So you can't kiss. I know you're talking about this. True love kiss thing. I'm sorry it's late, but it's not going to work. So you're going to have to think about da 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 da, or you're going to have to do this, or there's a certain thing, you know, whatever.
Well, and it suits his purposes a little bit to have Charming under a sleeping spell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
they
sure.
did have that promise, you stay out of my way.
Sure.
So.
Sure.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Now, the interesting thing, though, is now Henry could go back.
Right. True.
He could go back. And then, but here's the question. Can he take the necklace off of Charming since Charming has it? See, that's the weird part about this whole Netherworld thing. You go there and it's supposed to be just be your spirit or your soul.
Right.
So then what good does a necklace do you if you're only there in spirit? The necklace isn't there in spirit. It doesn't have a spirit.
Right.
So then there's that. Plus... How does he get burned all the time?
True.
So I did like the fact that Rumpelstiltskin was really cool about, you know, healing him and taking care of that burn. That's pretty gnarly burn too.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I do like the twist of charming, kind of bringing himself under the sleeping curse with the prick of his finger, like we've heard in the Sleeping Beauty story.
Yes.
And also Cinderella as well. There was another story.
Where not Cinderella.
It was the Rumpelstiltskin story.
Rumpelstiltskin, no, there's no pricking of the spinning wheel.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, anyway, I'm just too tired. But yeah, so...
The spinning wheel's in the Rumpelstiltskin story, but not pricking the finger on the spindle.
Yeah, that was just Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty pricked her finger on the spindle of the spinning wheel.
Okay. So, yeah, next week is the final show for the first half mm-hmm. of the season, even though we had a little break last week.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then we have a bit of a hiatus. And so that's our first thoughts of Into the Deep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what do you think? What do you think about the whole Netherworld thing or... Cora, Hook. I mean, was Cora honest, or was Hook honest with his last little thing where he said, no. I mean, even though I let Aurora go, and Cora was mad, but mm-hmm. he said, no, you're going to get everything that you wanted. And then he turned it around by saying, can't, you know, use this heart. You know, I got this heart. Was that a true heart? Was that, obviously it looked like it worked.
Yeah, it did.
Did he have some magic involved with that? I mean, so.
I do want to say this, point this out. At the end, when Aurora is making these statements, you can see Emma's face. She's very suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
Snow is a little bit suspicious, too. Mulan, on the other hand, is not thinking anything of it, as far as I can tell.
I keep thinking that Mulan is in cahoots with Korra somehow, because she keeps... messing up things and muddying up the water. And it sounds like she's being very, you know, good, but it's always, I don't know. So
see, now I'm thinking she's just messing up badly enough that she's going to kind of get like in the story of Mulan, she's basically, you know, been deceptive to a point, and then she'll get kind of left behind and she'll be the one that's going to have to save the day.
Okay.
So I think it's going to be an opportunity for her to be a real hero.
All righty.
We'll see.
So, yeah, that's it. And that's our first...
I want to say one more thing. I'm very glad that they didn't drag the zombie thing out. Because
yeah.
I was going to be ridiculously mad if they had.
I know.
I didn't care for it in the first place. Thought it was kind of silly.
I know.
But I'm very glad that they
stopped it
and did just that little tiny little bit of it, and that was that.
The only thing that I tried to help you with the saving it
mm-hmm.
is, you know, Rumpel did say, and see, I'm basing things on things that they've said in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Rumpel did say, if you have the heart, you control the person.
Exactly. No, so, I get that. I totally get that. But anyway. They were dead. I'm not even going to go into that hole.
And she didn't even have... She had one of those mobile heart drawer things.
Right.
It wasn't even a real one. It was, you know...
Portable.
More, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of an iHeart drawer thing. An iHeart Chester drawers.
Dude.
Mobile, you know.
Yes.
All right.
So, iPod for hearts?
Yeah, something like that.
Oi.
All right. Yeah. It is late even for us old folks. So what do you think? Send us your thoughts. You've heard the yawning like crazy. Please send us your voicemails, mm-hmm. your emails, and we will return with Once Upon a Time Radio on Saturday Night Live, 7 p.m. And we
That'd be
will
Pacific time, by
Pacific
the way.
Time. And if we have enough voicemails and emails, we'll go 2 hours. And if we have just the small number, we'll go an hour. So that's the way we'll do it. So thanks so much. I want to send big love out to everybody. And I hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Time with your family and friends. We had a little Thanksgiving do-over tonight. And it was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice turkey and stuffing and
yeah.
yams.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really, really nice. We sat there and we watched The Walking Dead.
Yeah, it was awesome. So happy Thanksgiving.
And then later on we watched Into the Deep.
Yes, we did.
So, all right. Take care, guys, and we will talk to you soon. See you later.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. All of us here at the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast want to wish you the happiest of holidays, and we know that they are quickly approaching. And I just want to take a quick second and remind you that we do have an affiliate link over at Amazon. It's store.onceuponatimepodcast.com. And if you use that link and shop at Amazon like you normally would, we get a small percentage, which helps pay for the podcast. And we want to keep it free, and we don't want to charge anything, and we don't want to add too many different ads and things into the show. But we want to remind you that if you do your Amazon shopping through our affiliate link, it's store.onceuponatimepodcast.com. We will get a percentage back, and it's going to help pay for the podcast. So thank you so much. And again, happy holidays.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceOvers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceOvers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.